This is me telling you this. The program is Media Network.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another program from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archive.
Radio Netherlands presents The Inside Story. Behind the scenes at Dutch Radio. Part 1, The Old Boy Network.
On the face of it, domestic broadcasting in the Netherlands looks pretty simple. For at least part of the day, four separate national networks are running side by side on the radio. Programmes all originate from a radio and television complex here in Hilversum. And if you switch on the radio just before 07 hours local time in the morning, the dial looks pretty straightforward. There's Hilversum 1, which runs 24 hours a day, and so never signs on or off. On medium wave, it's on 1,008 kHz, plus on various VHF channels. It's the light and middle-of-the-road music channel, which also carries quite a bit of sport and spoken word, but not serious, in-depth discussions. The latter usually find their way onto 747 kHz medium wave, the only outlet of this.
Hilversum 2.
That tune is the first few bars of the national anthem, and Hilversum 2 is the home of news programmes, consumer magazines and programmes for minority groups in Holland. On medium wave, 675 kHz, amongst others, and VHF, you'll also find this.
Hilversum 3.
Hilversum 3, which is principally a pop music channel, though it depends what you regard as pop music, of course. And finally, for part of the day, a channel devoted almost exclusively to classical, serious music takes to the airwaves on VHF only.
Hilversum 4.
Hilversum 4. When that channel isn't running, they carry Hilversum 2 programmes on VHF. Now, what could be simpler? Yes, but who makes the programmes? Not the Dutch government, for a start, because any government control on the content of programmes has been expressly forbidden since it all started here in the 1920s. It was during that era that five sections of society decided they wanted to have airtime on a transmitter owned by the Philips Company in Hilversum. A group for general programming, a group with socialist tendencies, and three religious organisations. Later, in the 60s and 70s, one group dropped the religion and became radical, another religious fundamentalist group started up, and two experiments in the North Sea were later legalised and came ashore. So instead of one broadcasting corporation, there are eight identifiable radio organisations in the Netherlands, each with their own identity and airtime on all the four national networks. They are the AVRO, A-V-R-O, NCRV, KRO, EO, Veronica, TROS, VPRO and VARA. But not one of them operates any studios. They're controlled by an umbrella organisation called the Nederlandse Omroep Stichting, or NOS, which provides a central pool of technical facilities which everyone shares. In this series, we'll visit the different radio organisations, play some of the extracts from programmes to give you a feel of them at least, for of course there's a language barrier, and let you decide if this is the worst or the best broadcasting setup in the world.
Hilversum 3, the AVRO.
AVRO's radio and television.
The changing.
That's the sound of AVRO Radio on the pop transmitter Hilversum 3. It's the largest organisation, and as its director Siebe van der Say now explains, it's also the oldest.
Absolutely right, yes. We started in 1923, precisely the 8th of July, not under the name of AVRO at that moment, because there was one little society in Hilversum under the late Mr. Vocht, who is really the founder of AVRO, and there was a little society in The Hague, and they both came together and then they took the name AVRO. But the society started under the name of Hilversumse Draadloze Omroep in 1923.
What does its title mean if you translate it?
I'm trying to translate it. It is Algemene Vereniging Radio Omroep, and that stands for General Broadcasting Society.
Does that mean you don't have any ties at all with political parties?
No, we don't have, because the political parties in Holland, they get an amount of broadcasting time, as well in radio as in television, that's given to them by the government, 10 minutes a week or 5 minutes a week, in the period elections are there. At that moment, they get some extra time. We, as broadcasting societies, also our colleagues, we have nothing to do with those transmissions.
But you do broadcast a sort of political commentary. Is that a personal view, or is it the view of the AVRO?
That's a personal view. We have Dr. Hilterman, you know him, and we have some other people who some now and then come to us and give their ideas about the political situation in Holland and in the world.
Stations like the AVRO each have their own management, public relations and program directors. So isn't there a lot of duplication, making for an inefficient system?
Yeah, you're right, I can tell you. On the other hand, I have noticed in my career that it is very peculiar that in Europe no one country has the same broadcasting system. I've never seen so many different systems. I can tell you that I was amazed by the fact that a number of years ago I was in Austria where they were talking about broadcasting in Austria. And what did I hear? Well, we have to look at the Netherlands because they have a magnificent democratic system of broadcasting. So it is complicated, but in Germany, with all the Länder, it is complicated. I know that from my colleagues. In Belgium, they have the French and the Flemish part. They don't work together. I think we, as broadcasters in Holland, in the several societies, we have more contact with each other than I think the broadcasters in Belgium. Well, France is different. They change every 3-4 years according to who is in the chair as president.
And so it goes on. But who else is there?
Goedemorgen, 10:04. Dit is de NCRV via de zender Hilversum 3.
That's the NCRV, the Netherlands Christian Radio and Television Organisation, which is another society with a long history but a sharp contrast to the ideas of AVRO. Its head of radio programming is Paul Holler.
Our history starts in 1924, when a group of Protestant Christian people in the Netherlands thought it would be necessary to have a radio system of their own in order to spread the gospel throughout the country and presenting their own point of view to the Dutch audience. A thought being copied by Catholics and Social Democrats in those days, and more or less a result of a movement in Holland we call the Emancipation Movement, which meant that all those various groups in our country wanted to have their own say.
Does that mean you were only putting out religious programmes?
Oh, no. Maybe in 1924, the majority of our programming was more or less religious. Nowadays, we broadcast about 10% of our total radio time on religious subjects. 90% is non-religious, although we maintain that all our programs are more or less religiously inspired. So that means we would refrain from doing things which you could think are typically non-Christian.
By law, all broadcasting organisations have to provide all types of programming, news magazines, music, entertainment, and they can choose whether or not to display a particular viewpoint or profile. So, can you compare the NCRV with the religious local stations in the United States?
It's not only an oversimplification, we wouldn't even like to look like them. The electronic church in the United States is just trying to sell faith, is trying to save souls, as far as I've seen them. Well, of course, we would like to save souls as an effect of our programming as well, but we're not aiming for it.
What about politics? Mm-hmm. Does the NCRV have political standpoints?
Well, we know that the majority of our members are voters on the Christian Democrat Party here in this country. So, in a way, we are related to such a party. This party has got no influence whatsoever on this radio and television organization. There are no bonds, no ties, and we prefer to be independent from such an organization as we are independent from the churches.
For the most part, pop music from NCRV is indistinguishable from anyone else's, and there's only 1 hour a week of NCRV gospel music.
Gospel Rock is terug volgende week. Graag tot dan.
Gospel Rock op Hilversum 3, NCRV.
We will not subscribe to a top 40. Why not? Because from time to time in this top 40 records are included items which we would not touch. Whether a single like Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll will be the first on everybody's hit list, we will not broadcast it because we think the text would not fit into our philosophy.
Does that mean, too, that you don't discuss, for example, sex or drugs problems that happen, for example, in big cities like Amsterdam?
Oh, yes, we do. We do it in a couple of youngsters' programs. It's a problem which relates to our audience, which is not necessarily the same as our membership. We think it's necessary for an organization like ours to tell the audience that we've got a certain philosophy of our own. Rock and roll is all right, but related to sex and drugs, we wouldn't like the youngsters to go for that.
Now, does this religious inspiration also come into news and current affairs programs that you cover? That must be rather difficult, I would have thought.
Yeah. It's impossible to spread just Christian news, of course. News is news. We try as hard as anybody else in the world, anyway, in the Western part of the world, I think, to bring the news in an objective way. We've got a certain overemphasis, you could say, on things related to churches and to church organizations. The Christian Science Monitor is a good newspaper, as everybody knows, but you couldn't say that all their news is just Christian Science inspired. In a similar way, NCRV provides a good news service, and we have a certain amount of church information programs in which we do not try to make propaganda for churches, but just to inform the audience what's going on in organizations like the World Council of Churches and in various synods of the 69 Protestant churches we've got in this country.
But Holland has a considerable population which classes itself as Roman Catholic. Back in the 1920s, when the NCRV got the OK, the Catholics decided to form a radio station too, the Catholic Radio Society, or KRO.
Drie over twaalf, KRO, Hilversum 1.
KRO Today, and as Frans de Swaan, KRO's public relations director, now explains, they weren't far behind the Protestants.
Yes, 1 year, I think, in 1925, in the time that Roman Catholics still had to fight for their recognition in many fields as full and equal citizens. And there was a small group of pioneers led by a Father Dominican, Father Perquin, a parish priest from Amsterdam, and he founded the Catholic Broadcasting Corporation, Katholieke Radio Omroep. And the first transmission was November the 24th of 25, with 2,300 members of our organization. Now there are 600,000 in 83.
Now, the NOS Omroep Museum, the Broadcasting Museum, mentions that in the late 1920s, the KRO also produced programs on shortwave. Is that true?
That's true, and as you can imagine, it were programs for missionaries in Indonesia, the former colony. There was also a development in this programming. It became hours a week, and not all alone for missionaries, but also for all Dutch people in Asia, Africa, and America. And it stopped with the start of the Second World War
Right. After the war, 1947, Radio Netherlands was established as a foundation. Does that mean that KRO then stopped all its connections with its missionaries overseas?
In a way, yes, because Radio Netherlands still does that work, and they do it very well, I think. In another aspect, we still have connections, and that is in strictly religious programming, Eucharist and all that sort of things. There is a connection between the Catholic Broadcasting and Radio Nederland Wereldomroep for the production of the programming.
The broadcasting system in the Netherlands is certainly democratic. Each broadcasting group proves its support by having so many members of the public pay 10 guilders a year, that's about £2, as proof that they support the organisation. But most groups also publish a programme schedule, covering theirs and everyone else's output. And by subscribing to that, for quite a bit more than 10 guilders a year, you also become a member of the organisation. If this radio organisation has 150,000 members, it can apply for a certain amount of airtime on radio and television. It gets a so-called C licence. Get 300,000 members and you get a B licence, whilst more than 450,000 members entitles you to five times as much airtime as a C licence broadcaster and gets you an A licence. The AVRO, NCRV and KRO all have A licences. The NCRV says that many of its members are interested or support the Christian Democratic Party, which is fairly central as far as the political spectrum is concerned. So what about Catholic KRO?
That's a difficult question, you see, because we try to work on an evangelical level. So we criticise politics. That's rather pretentious, I think. But it obliges us not to take any party political standpoint. That's one thing. But I have to admit that our members, the 600,000, vote in a majority for the Christian Democratic Party. And we can't ignore that fact.
But you don't get money from the Christian Democratic Party?
Oh, no, not at all. Only a criticism.
Namens de KRO wens ik u goedemiddag.
So are the Catholics on the air to undermine the Protestants and vice versa? Paul Holler of the Protestant NCRV again.
No, on the contrary, we've got a good kind of cooperation with our Catholic colleagues. In a way, we're catering for a more or less similar audience, but oriented to various churches. In our organisation, 5% of our membership are Roman Catholics, surprisingly enough. And not all our members are members of Protestant churches. From time to time, even people say, why don't you combine with KRO? Well, that's a result of our peculiar broadcasting law, which would punish us, KRO and NCRV, for combining, for joining forces by splitting our airtime on radio and television to about half we've got now. If we would combine, we would be together one A station, which would be ludicrous, of course. We wouldn't even think about it.
Back in the 20s, though, it wasn't only religion that motivated the Dutch towards the radio microphone. It was politics, too. So began the VARA.
Het is 3:00. Dag luisteraars, goedemiddag. Dit is de VARA via Hilversum 4. De middaguitzending wordt gevuld met muziek van Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. En we beginnen met de balletmuziek uit Idomeneo, kuchelsindeling 367, uitgevoerd door het Nederlands Kamerorkest onder leiding van David Zinman.
The socialist-orientated VARA armed the classic transmitter Hilversum 4, playing serious music there. But has little changed from the beginning of the station? Willem van Bozekom is the assistant programme director of VARA Radio.
Yes, I think the standpoint has changed. Before the war and in the years after the war, we were closely linked to the Social Democratic Party and to the unions. Since, I think, about 1960, we are more independent from them. We are standing for, let's say, the leftist view in Holland, so for the Social Democrats and organizations like Social Democrats organizations, more left from the center in the political view in Holland.
You take a socialist viewpoint. Do you see any of the other broadcasting organizations in the Netherlands as taking the opposite view then?
Yes, the five biggest organizations, two of them are what they call neutral, but in the political field in Holland you can say they are a little bit liberal. We have a Catholic organization and a Protestant organization and the Social Democrat organization, and you can see that there are differences in the programs, but also in the political views between the socialistic organization and take one of the others, one of the neutral, the Avro or the Tros, because they say they officially don't have a political view. But they do, I think. Yes.
Well, you may see events portrayed from a central or even right-of-centre viewpoint when watching Avro, or one we haven't yet mentioned, the Tros, depending on your own political background. Both these organisations claim total independence, though. On the other hand, isn't the VARA simply a mouthpiece for the Dutch Socialist Party?
No, it isn't. By law, all the organisations have to make a total programme, as well as political things, cultural things, live music things, entertainment, and all those kind of fields. So even we as VARA are making all this kind of programs. The only thing is that in our political programs, in our journalistic programs, we are a little bit left, you can say. But it isn't socialistic or social democratic propaganda, because one of the most important thing in Dutch radio is always giving your opponent the possibility to tell his story too in your programs.
If you're in a public broadcasting organisation in different countries, you have to, by law in many cases, have both sides of the viewpoint. Now, if you represent a socialist standpoint, does that mean that you also interview people that take an opposing view to perhaps the VARA?
Yes. In our important political programmes, and we are making a very important one in Holland on the Saturday afternoon, not only socialistic politicians are coming to the program, but also the politicians from the Liberal Party or the Conservative parties, and they are in the program just to tell about their views. And of course, we try to discover in their views those things we are, think are at fault.
Do you share correspondence at all? I mean, or do you have your own VARA correspondence throughout the world?
Sometimes we have. There are some correspondence in the main capitals of the world that we have with, sometimes perhaps with a paper. But in less important towns, politically less important towns like Paris and Rome, we share our correspondent with one of the other organizations. Of course, it's cheaper.
And your particular organization, is it growing? You're an A Omroep at the moment.
Yes, we are A Omroep at the moment. And I hope we will stay that. But it's very difficult, because it's very difficult for an organization with a profile like the VARA to maintain in this system.
When you're showing your documentaries, do you find then that the figures are going down?
Yes, the figures are going down. If on the other channel there is a big show or a program with one of our comics or something like that, you see the figures of our organization dropping down.
What about influence from stations abroad? I mean, we've got Germany on the cable, Belgium on the cable, and England in some parts of the country. Does that knock your figures too or not?
No, not so much. I always think that it's important for the Dutch audience to listen to programs in the Dutch language and to see television programs made in Holland. Perhaps 5 to 10% will sometimes choose a foreign channel, but I think most of the Dutch audience will stay with our own organizations.
Willem van Bosekom of VARA Radio. Right, are you following it so far? Then you will have heard me mention five broadcasting societies that started up in the 1920s, not four. The one we haven't mentioned is the so-called VPRO. And although it's an old organisation, if you listen to it now, older VPRO listeners will tell you that it's changed radically. We'll be taking a closer look at that group and the North Sea-based transmitters that came ashore in the following episode of The Inside Story.
The Inside Story was researched and produced by Jonathan Marks.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.